This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Tess.
Macca, we've got Melbourne's only Lord Mayor in the studio. Good morning
Our
to you,
favourite
Sally.
Lord Mayor.
Good morning, and thank you for calling that out so many times in the first 14 minutes of the show. I love it. Thank
Happy
you.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, and same to you.
And so have you managed to have a break at all, Sally?
Well, I had a few days over Christmas and call it out. I was supposed to call in on Christmas Day and I'm so sorry. I got wrapped up in singing Christmas hymns.
Yes.
And I'm in trouble here.
No, you're not. You made up with those tarts that you bought out the front.
We did. We had a lovely couple of days over Christmas with family, and since then it's been full on. We had a really big New Year's Eve here in Melbourne that went off brilliantly, and then, of course, it's been very bushfire-focused even for us here in the city.
And we've seen the bushfires, Sally, not just in rural and regional Victoria and other states, but actually lapping at the boundaries of Melbourne.
It was incredible, wasn't it?
You know, this is
Bundoora,
yeah.
Mill Park, it was very scary. And I think for the city dwellers, it really gave us just a tiny little hint of how scary it must be. The city has been blanketed in smoke for weeks.
And anybody who says that they weren't impacted by the fires anyway must have their head in the sand, really.
And rightly so. I mean, we've got a big effort at the moment and some fires still burning and the immediate aftermath of communities devastated by fire. But we need to have a prolonged focus and energy around the rebuilding of these communities because it will take a long time. We learnt a lot out of previous disasters the fact that we've had deaths and that's devastating, but that the number's been relatively low is fantastic. But of course we need to keep learning, and it's certainly changed not just the tone but the substance of the conversation, hasn't it?
Sally, tell us how is Melbourne City Council involved, and why is Melbourne City Council involved in the bushfire recovery response?
Well, I'm really pleased to say that we've been involved because, like a lot of people, we want to feel practical in doing something useful and valuable. You know that.
Yes,
I know
I
you have been
that.
Very involved as well, Tess. So when the state government asked us to set up an emergency relief centre, we were overwhelmed with volunteers. We have a very expert team. They do an incredibly good job, very professional, know exactly what they're doing. We had volunteers. We had all the hotels offering rooms. We had attractions and places that people could go to sort of forget about what was happening for a little while. Lots of vouchers, food, of course. The salvos came in with care packs. We had the Red Cross and counselling services, and of course all the state government agencies as well. And what was really telling for me when busloads of people arrived, having been on the Chules and being evacuated from Mallacoota, one of the most overwhelming senses I got was that people had really, particularly the adults that had children, had kept themselves stoic and brave for as long as they could. And then when they arrived at the relief centre and saw all of this support and assistance and a sense that we all knew what was going on and we were invested in helping them, just the emotion that came out. And from people that you wouldn't expect, you know, very sometimes gruff-looking blokes all of a sudden breaking down in tears because they just felt, oh, they could let go and they could release all of that emotion that they'd been holding in because they needed to, because they were in that flight and fight mode. And so it was lovely just to be able to create an environment that is supportive, that provided assistance. And I really have to call out organisations like Crown. Mm. They were incredible with the assistance. MCEC just opened up and all their staff. And
what's MCEC?
The Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre. So I should call it out properly. No, it's absolutely appropriate. I shouldn't use that. Acronyms. Yes, they're dangerous. So those organisations just said everything, whatever we've got, you can have, and let us pull on all of those resources as we needed. And it was just brilliant. And the saying goes, the extremes of Mother Nature bring out the best in human nature. And that's certainly what we've seen. But we need to make sure
that's a lovely saying. I hadn't heard that before. Mm. I have to say, I did some time at Yarraville, food bank, warehouse offices. And it did restore my faith in humanity again. Mm. There was some extraordinary stories of people turning up. There were two young kids that turned up. They had a skateboard under one arm, a backpack over their shoulder, and a grocery bag, and they'd been to the supermarket, spent their money, and turned up with a bag of food supplies. Oh. Isn't that extraordinary?
Amazing.
There was a group of Sikh men from Tarnit who turned up with two trucks, 12 men, because we just didn't have the capacity to unload 12 trucks, two trucks of food. And I think there was something like two pallets of milk. Mm. In addition to the food that they had actually delivered. So the generosity has been extraordinary. Mums and dads who just turned up in their battered old car, who'd been to the supermarket to do their shopping, and opened up the boot and said, here's a couple of bags for food bank. You know, this is our grocery here for the week. Mm. And here's some for food bank to give to people. It's extraordinary generosity.
It is. And as we say, we need to keep that going. We're getting a lot of people saying, how can we help? In the short term, of course, for the communities that have been impacted, it's money and resources, as we've just heard. But ongoing, I think we've seen right across Victoria, all of the tourism and activity is well down. Yes. Even in places like Daylesford, I was talking to somebody the other day, they've had cancellations because people think either the whole of Victoria has been burnt or they just feel it's not safe, so they're not going to go.
Yeah,
exactly. So what we do need to do is, at the appropriate time, is encourage all of us back out into the regions. But certainly for those that haven't been affected, keep going there because they're so reliant on the income that comes from this time of year, the tourism income that comes from this time of year. We've been talking to Visit Victoria about how we can, at the appropriate times, let people know when those towns in our north east are back open for business so that we can all go out for a pie and a coffee. Yeah. All of those things help. And then, of course, in the longer term, we're certainly engaging with the local councils in those areas about the ways in which we can share resources to help with the rebuild. And it's those sorts of efforts that will make a big difference.
It seems to me, Sally, that local government and state government are ahead of the game here. And particularly in Victoria, I can't speak with any authority about New South Wales, but are ahead of the game here in terms of how local government responds, whether that's the City of Melbourne, you know, whether it's the regional shires and cities, and the state government of Victoria. They're well ahead of the game in terms of how they're responding, what the long-term plan is, and what they're doing about climate change. Now, climate change, whether it's something like the City of Melbourne having green power, whether it's about being more efficient with the recycling, whether it's, it doesn't matter what it is. But the federal government, I know it's a difficult question, there seems to be, realistically, a lack of action on climate change. There's a lot of fudging of numbers. There's nothing substantial that I can see other than some money going into renewables happening at the federal level. What's your thought?
Well, I think it makes sense that local government and state government are the most involved because we are more closely connected to the community. We have more direct responsibilities and ability to respond. And so that really makes sense to me. I know in talking to state government colleagues that when the call went out for help, for example, to the Defence Forces,
yes.
could we get some of those resources? That came back in spades. So I think at the moment people are really staying focused on how we get the best cooperation to get the best results. And then afterwards there'll be more of the, I guess, the questioning and how can we do it better? And I'm steering well away from the intent of your question, Macca.
Why is that? You can have
those opinions. And well, I think if we stay focused on actually
responding
well at the moment, that's a good thing.
And I think plenty to learn.
Go on, Sal.
Plenty to learn.
Well, I think the question that I would like to ask you is, what is the council's response to climate change and the climate change question? Do you have a view as a council?
We do, and we've received probably equal measures so far, criticism and support. Some people say, why is a local council getting involved in climate change at all? We declared a climate emergency this year. We have a climate mitigation strategy. We have a waste strategy that's complementary to that. We, as you know, we are a council that is powered 100% by renewable energy. From our point of view, it starts with all of us. We can't say that's somebody else's responsibility. We all need to be involved in these issues and the solutions. And so from our point of view, we're doing everything we can, or we feel that we can, both the things that we can directly control, like our own power, as well as education, information, leadership, inspiration, whatever it might be, on how other people can get involved in these issues. We care about the land and the environment. We understand the value that it brings us. And one easy example of that is we know that the more green canopy cover that we have, the more trees that we have, yes. the more grass that we have, the cooler our city is.
Yes.
And when we see what's happening at the moment, and how about some of these extremely hot days we've had, that the
followed
green
by
canopy,
cold and wet days.
Yes, good old Melbourne. But the green canopy cover absolutely reduces the yes. temperature of the city, and that's a simple thing but very important.
It does. I mean, I see, you know, you think, you know, there's the old motto of think locally, act nationally, but all politics is local.
Mm.
All politics is local. Mm. And, you know, local government, state government, federal government, they do have to all work together, because at the end of the day, anything the federal government says, they might fund the state governments to do it, and the state governments will support the local governments to do it. There's not a lot of examples of federal government going directly to local government. Not enough. But the reality is, without the engagement and involvement of local government, it doesn't happen. It won't happen.
Well, I think all citizens of Australia would say they'd like to see the three levels of government work better together. But what has been really encouraging through this experience is, in talking to the emergency services, the different agencies, yeah. police, fireys, all of the SES, all of those agencies, they've said they've never had better interoperability
yes.
than they have during this experience.
Yeah.
And they all exist in silos. Everyone has to fight for their resources and make sure they're looking after their teams, etc. But to hear them say that back to us is they've never worked better together in a coordinated way is really encouraging. And that goes back, I think, a lot to that humanity question as well, is that ultimately in those extreme circumstances, we need people who are focused on the outcome, not arguing about who's doing what and who gets what. And I think that's what we saw, which is fantastic.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass, and we've got Sally Capp, Melbourne's favourite Lord Mayor, in the studio.
Oh, come on.
It's a new tag. Now, we're going to talk about microbats.
Well, microbats. Because the City of Melbourne are holding...
Hang on, what's a microbat?
Well, actually, Sally, tell us what a microbat is.
Uh-oh.
It's not a shadow minister or something like that, is it?
It's a species of bat.
A bat?
Not like the... I think we're all used to seeing the fruit bats.
Yes.
I think they're magnificent when they're flying through the sky. These are microbats, and some of them you can actually fit into a little matchbox. So cute. And they come out particularly at this time of year because they need to load up on insects before the winter comes. And so we're seeing a big proliferation, if you like, of the way in which the microbats, will be flying around the city over the next, all over February, really, almost all of February. And we're holding a series of events so that people can come out and see these little microbats and be awed by nature.
But they're bio blitz events. That's what the briefing says.
Maybe we should
bio
rename
blitz
them.
Blitz events.
We should rename them.
Bio blitz.
Bio blitz. And blitz can be a good word as word yeah. as well. And so come out, have a look, learn more about these gorgeous animals. They actually help the ecology. One little microbat can eat up to 600 insects in an evening, which is pretty fantastic.
So it's a Batskrieg, not a Blitzkrieg. Batskrieg.
I like the way your mind works. So that is one of the things to look out for across our parks during February. There are organised events for people to come out and see our microbats.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
I mean, did you know anything about microbats?
I didn't.
No,
I didn't.
Heard of them.
And now I know. Go. Royal Park, King's Domain, Fitzroy Gardens, Carlton Gardens, from Monday the 3rd to Saturday the 22nd of February. There you go.
Yep. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. Now, Midsummer Carnival, but also I just want to talk
Speaking of fun, Midsummer Carnival.
There's been...
Now, you're actually launching the carnival tomorrow, aren't
you? Tomorrow, yes, with a cast of thousands, including the Minister, Martin Foley, who's a wonderful supporter and does a lot to make sure there are the right resources. Hmm. And it's, what, the 18th year of Midsummer? And last year, almost 300,000 people were involved. We're expecting the same this year, so it should be fantastic.
18th, I thought it was the 30th.
Oh.
Oh, I've got that wrong.
Controversial.
Oh, I think I've got that wrong.
It might be maybe it's the 18th year that we've been involved, so you could be right, and
we'll get Paul to do a bit of research for us
while we're chatting. Thank you, Paul.
So what time is your official officiating event?
Well, the kickoff starts tomorrow afternoon. We're kicking off around 2. The feature for tomorrow afternoon down in Alexandra Gardens is the Pooch Show.
Yes.
What was that great movie? Do you remember that movie with the dogs? Best in Show.
Oh, Best in Show, yes.
Do you remember? I always think, you'll have to watch it. It's absolutely hysterical. It's about the professional dog shows and the trouble that people go to make sure that their dogs are presented in the best way. And, of course, there are always politics and dramas involved in these sorts of shows. But not tomorrow. There's no drama.
It used to be called Dulcie's Dog Show. I don't know if Dulcie du jour is
doing it again.
There. And it's people put a huge amount of effort into this.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it.
And Carnival Day is big. There's 194 events in Midsummer. I think nearly 5,000 artists. Many, many of the events are free. Now, Rohan Leppett, one of your colleagues, he's one of the judges.
He is. Rohan will actually be officiating at the dog show tomorrow. And last year it was a fantastic day. I'm really looking forward to it. Amazing performers and good fun and good family fun.
Now, also, the Australian Open's coming up and there's actually been some pretty important security upgrades relating to the Australian Open. And I know that, you know, you're working pretty closely with Victoria Police and the state government. Tell us about these upgrades, particularly around Olympic Park.
So as part of the ongoing city safety and security program, we just launched this week, actually, the work that's happened down at Olympic Boulevard and around the sports precinct there. 196 steel bollards have gone in, the most in any area we've done so far. And a number of, I think they look fantastic actually, 35 sort of concrete bollards that you can sit on as well. Yeah. And we've put lots of greenery around them so that we can keep lovely streetscapes. And as I said, it's part of an ongoing program. We also finished before Christmas the State Library. Work around the forecourt of the State Library. Mm. And as you can imagine, these are places where we have high volumes of people. We also finished just before Christmas the work around Queen Victoria Market. But leading into the Australian Open, where we're expecting more than 800,000 people during that 2 week with high concentrations of pedestrians and people hanging out and being dropped off.
Not as many of them on trams.
Well, I hope they are. Let's see.
Yeah.
We're all holding our breath on that. It was fantastic to be able to, the state government, major funder, we're delivering, police are involved as well. We have experts from around the world that tell us what we should be doing and how we can make people safe. But the important thing, I think, is that when you look across that environment, it doesn't look unwelcoming.
No. People
can still move around freely. Big crowds can permeate easily and move easily. And I think it's actually been very successful, the program. We, Bourke Street Mall, we started with, we've now finished Flinders Street Station, Prince's Bridge as well. I mentioned State Library, Queen Vic Market.
They all look fantastic, by the way. I enjoy
and
those
ugly concrete blocks. I'm not sure who owns those, but they're ugly. It's about getting rid of all of those, and our next areas of retention are Southern Cross Station, where we have a lot of those concrete blocks, and also Fed Square.
Because they look very temporary, don't they?
They do, and people use them as ashtrays, and they litter all around them. It's just not good. So.
I noticed there's a bunch outside Luna Park in St Kilda, and their attempt to try to beautify them was to create little sort of covers for them.
I think they look good.
That's quite a nice
idea. We do that at Queen Vic Market as well. And I know that the Australian Open has done it for the temporary ones there.
I've just been told that our Midsummer is 33 years old.
Oh, goodness.
It may be that Melbourne City Council's sponsorship
years.
Is 18
oh,
years.
We've got to lift our game. I'm
you
sorry about that.
Do.
33 years.
And speaking
congratulations.
Speaking of people management, 120,000 people are expected.
At Carnival.
Tomorrow. At Carnival tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And they'll come and have a brilliant time.
That's provided it doesn't rain, of course.
Well, I think we have to be prepared for rain, don't we?
80% chance.
We're not fair weather people here in Melbourne. So please do come and join in the fun tomorrow afternoon.
It's chaos when it rains in Melbourne, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
We just don't like rain. The traffic grinds to a halt.
I heard
people pull out their umbrellas.
An amazing story in that downpour. This week, there were a whole lot of people up on Spring Street because there were the bus replacements for the tram, and there's no cover there. So we had lines of people standing in the rain. The Melbourne Metro team that they had there to organise the queues were doing dances and singing impromptu just to try and keep people sane. Exactly. And then a good Samaritan from one of the apartment blocks there came out with about 25 little umbrellas that they had for a promotion and walked down the lines and actually handed out the umbrellas so that people... So we respond well.
That's good.
That is great.
Good stories.
Now, we've got a listener feedback, Taz.
We have, Macca. What does the feedback say?
I don't know. You better read it.
It says, oh, please stop canning the federal government. David?
Oh, I think it's from David.
Oh, I thought it was directed to you, Macca.
It might be. Well, look, you know, if I'm caning them because of the lack of what I regard as a sensible, well-founded policy response, then so be it. It's not about politics, it's about policy.
There you go.
But thank you for the feedback. I love getting that feedback.
Thank you. So I do have another question here for you, Sally. I'm going to go back a little bit, and it's related to the bushfires. The US government issued a travel warning to its citizens saying Australia is currently a dangerous place to visit. Do you think that's going to affect our international tourism?
It definitely had an impact, and I'm really pleased to say that our Prime Minister rang Donald Trump and asked him to withdraw it, which he did. So we've checked in with particularly the tennis at this time of year, and pleasingly we haven't seen large cancellations for the tennis, so we're encouraging everyone to come still for the Australian Open from overseas. And as I said, we still need to put the effort into our local tourism. But there is no doubt when those sorts of travel warnings are put out, and particularly by somebody who has the influence that Donald Trump has, that it has an impact. And you know, it was very unfortunate.
You know, Donald Trump had a final meeting with Joe Hockey, our outgoing ambassador, Australian ambassador in Washington. And President Trump asked him about the koalas. He was very concerned about the Australian koalas. He wanted to know how it was impacting on them. And I think it's remarkable that relationship. But, you know, the Prime Minister rings...
It's a remarkable question, really.
No, he did. He asked about the koalas.
People are dying and we're asking about koalas?
Well, he asked about the koalas. I mean... What's wrong with that?
What about China's influence in the Asia Pacific?
No, look, there's nothing to worry about with China, with Donald Trump. Xi Jinping's a good mate of his. We're all good friends. Nothing to worry about. It's all good.
We have seen a lot of devastation to wildlife, though, and that has, I think, piqued a lot of interest from people around the world.
Yeah.
And it's been the motivation for a lot of the donations that have been made.
It has. Mm. So, Tess.
I'm going to go back to Carnival, actually. Okay. Just to remind our listeners that Carnival commences at 11 o'clock tomorrow and goes right through till 10 p.m., finishing up with the Midsummer Carnival tea dance.
Oh, you're a bit of a you're a bit of a tea dance tragic from years past.
What's a tea dance?
Look, I've never actually been to one.
Haven't you?
No.
It's where they take LGBT elders to a tent and they can have tea and they.
No, it's not.
Oh, it is not.
It is not.
Where does the dancing bit come in?
Carnival it is, but there's an event for tea dance that's separate as an event for carnival.
LGBT.
No, I think you've got that wrong. A tea dance is basically a dance party. It's an outdoor dance party.
Okay, sounds good.
And it used to be a ticketed event. But I think they found that it costs more to put up these security fencing than it costs to stage the event. So they took the fencing down, made it free, and
everyone's
now goes.
Happy. Good. I'm looking forward to that.
It's actually it's a nice place to go and dance because you have a fabulous backdrop view of the city skyline, and as the sun goes down and the city lights up, it's just beautiful.
And as I said, on that main stage, there are so many great performers, singers, dancers. I'm really looking forward to it. Official speeches are at 2, though. I know it starts at 11, but official. if you want to come and hear the speeches.
And, of course, there is the famous Midsummer Carnival dog show that you've already referred to. There'll be millions of stalls, and every organisation that wants to actually have a relationship or be connected with
Joy
the community will have a stall.
Or can help and connect and provide assistance and support.
Provide information.
Now, you know that Carnival Days hasn't just been held in the Alexandra Gardens. It's actually been in the Treasury Gardens on a couple of occasions.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, a couple of occasions.
That was because they were being renovated.
There was some resurfacing and some replanting being done in the Alexandra Gardens. Yeah.
And we've got some of that work happening into next year, so it'll be interesting to see. But it's a great spot. It'll be the place to be tomorrow.
It certainly will be.
And
there's
the
also
big Pride March is coming up as well.
That's in a couple of weeks' time.
Can you believe it's the same day as the big Chinese New Year Dragon Festival in the city? So it's going to be huge in the city, but unfortunately, we'll be split between major events, but that's par for Melbourne, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
Oh, dear, I didn't realise that. Well, these things do occur. And sometimes we end up with a bit of a clash. Anyway, Joy is going to be broadcasting from Midsummer Carnival tomorrow between 12 and 3, Macca.
Yes.
Really? Oh, good.
There will be a team who will be doing an outside broadcast.
Not us.
You won't be there, Macca?
No.
The president won't make an appearance.
No, I'm going to go out and buy a koala pencil sharpener to send to President Trump.
Are you president or chair?
Both.
Okay. President and chair. Good.
Yes.
And if
and
you
Grand
happen
Poobah.
To be
and Poobah, yes.
If you happen to be anywhere near the Joy tent, just turn up, and I'm sure they'll wave.
They'll give you a minute or two on air.
Oh, I think I've had my fair share today, but thank you,
Sally. It's always great to have you.
It
in
is.
The studio.
Thank you for
a
having
great
me.
Great way to start the year.
Lovely to see you, and I'm looking forward to being part of the regular conversations that you have here. Valuable conversations.
And we hope,
so thank you.
In about a month's time, when you're on again,
yes.
We're trying to get your fellow patron of the station, Peter Hitchener, in at the same time. It means he might have to give up golf on a Saturday morning just for once to come in. Because I want you both here at the same time.
Good. We can have a great chat.
Yeah, yeah. So
excellent. I'm sure that he'll be willing to give up golf.
Well, he'll
he's
have
had
to.
The shout-out now, hasn't he?
He's been told, and I know that, you know, Peter, so you'll remind him as well.
Sally, thank you very much.
Thanks, gang.
See you
in
a month's time.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.